Are you feeling the weight? Because you're fetid is like the hot young thing.
Oh god. I don't think I like that hot young thing idea. I like to think that my work is taken seriously, and I like that. I feel very grateful for that. But I think it's less about the weight and more about just not having, I don't always have the time and space and silence that I need. And when I do have it, I think it was Don DeLillo who says that writers go out of their way to secure their solitude, and then having secured it, they go out of their way to squander it. And I think it's something I identify with. So there's the, yeah, creating, wanting to create the conditions that make for the possibility of production of literary work is something that I'm dealing with.
Is that something you'd thought about before you got success, or is this just the underbelly of it?
Yeah, you don't think about that sort of thing. I mean, you don't realize. When I think about it now, it's funny because I wrote Purple Hibiscus, my first novel, when I was an undergraduate. I was in school. I was my sister's unpaid housekeeper. I had all of these responsibilities, and I still would stay up all night writing.
And
now that it's relatively easier, I seem to have trouble finding the time. So it's quite silly in some ways.
There's a story in the book about a writer who also has frustrations of a different kind.
That's the story Jumping Monkey Hill is actually the only story in this collection that's about me, in not entirely, of course, but generally I don't write about myself. I write about other people, and this is the one story that was based on an experience I had, and it's also the one story that came from a place of deep rage.
In the first story, which is probably the most political one in the book. And the most, I mean, it's set in Nigeria, and it's about a brother of the central character who gets into trouble. But actually, I was thinking at the same time, it's the best thing that probably ever happened to him in a horrible kind of way, because he wasn't much of a decent human being until he got kicked around.
Yeah, and that he somehow finds redemption by being in the cell and meeting this old man who has so much dignity and who's being treated really badly, and this kid who is self-absorbed and just not a very good kid really, but then it becomes an opportunity. He changes. I mean, for me, and it's a story that I liked. I mean, there's some stories I write and I quite like them as I'm writing them, and this was one of them, although it took me a while. It took me maybe 2.5 years to do that story, but I just really liked how in an organic way his redemption came about.
Redemption is different than having a happy ending.
Absolutely, yes. I like redemption. I don't really much care for happy endings. I'm very suspicious of happy endings and of happiness in general.
Because you're... Okay, why?
I don't know.
You're beautiful, successful, intelligent. You know, you get to jet around the world. You've got a loving family. I'm looking for the downside. Other than not getting that tranquility, that quiet place that a writer likes.
No, and this is no. I'm not saying I am actually sort of I'm a person who's generally full of gratitude, right? I'm sort of, I realize how fortunate I am. I go to events and people have read my book and I think, really, why? and it's also a really lovely feeling. You know, it's fantastic to get emails from young people in Nigeria who say, you know, you changed my life, I want to be like you. And I think, my God. I mean, on the one hand, it's lovely. On the other, I think that's a little worrying. You know, you shouldn't want to be like me. You know what it is? It's sentimentality that I don't like. Yeah.
That makes sense. Because I've always found you someone who's really particularly hard on herself.
I think my family would agree with you. I think so.
I think your publisher would agree with that, too.
I think there's also a sense in which, I guess it's that natural suspicion I have. I'm the sort of person, I am, you know, I'm working on it in that American way. But recently my best friend said to me, you know, you really don't take compliments well. And she said, people compliment you and you immediately find something to say and you brush it aside. And I started to think about it and I realized it was true. And, you know, and I don't know why. It's also that thing where I don't want to start digging too much. But what it means is that now I'm trying to be a lot more gracious. Now I like this and I say thank you. Before I would say something sarcastic in response. And I, you know, so I guess I am. But then on the other hand, in some ways it can be a good thing. Because I sort of feel, I have writer friends who are, and often very good writers, who are simply incapable of taking any kind of criticism, incapable of self-criticism. And I think it makes them so fragile and so, and I sort of want to hold them and protect them, because the world, it's going to happen, you know, it's going to come. So in some ways, I think what my crazy personality has helped me deal with is that I can take it.
The book is The Thing Around Your Neck, a collection of short stories. I've been speaking with the author, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. How did I do that time?
That's not too bad.
And The Thing Around Your Neck, published by Knopf Canada.